Have you ever noticed how the moment you try to explain happiness, it slips away? That's because we live trapped in a prison of our own making, a cage built from words, concepts, and endless mental chatter. We spend our lives drawing invisible lines around everything: success versus failure, self versus other, sacred versus mundane. These boundaries give us the comforting illusion of understanding, yet they obscure the most fundamental truth. Reality doesn't actually come pre-divided into neat categories. A wave doesn't know where it ends and the ocean begins. Neither do you. Consider how we frame our identity through increasingly narrow labels: nationality, profession, relationships, beliefs, yet feel strangely hollow when we realize these are just conceptual boxes. Our language can only describe boundaries, never what flows between them. This frame-based thinking resembles what Eastern philosophy calls Maya, the grand illusion based on measurement and division. When we widen our vision beyond these artificial boundaries, we often feel existential despair. But here's the paradox. This very dissolution of false boundaries is liberation itself. The moment we stop grasping for enlightenment and simply live in present reality, we discover what was always there, hiding in plain sight. Even the Empire State Building is as much nature's work as a bird's nest, both expressions of the same living universe, different only in our mental categorization. True acceptance brings profound psychological freedom, the liberty to feel anxious, remain tense, or protest suffering without resistance. Acceptance means allowing yourself to be exactly what you are, because your nature expresses itself regardless of your thoughts about it. This resembles telling someone contemplating suicide, "Go ahead, who's stopping you?" Realizing your freedom often transforms your desire to use it destructively. The revelation that changes everything, the only difference between an ordinary person and an enlightened Buddha, is that one realizes they are Buddha while the other doesn't. When asked, "How does one get emancipated?" a teacher replied, "Who has ever put you in bondage?" Your everyday experience is already spiritual experience of the highest order. The magic isn't somewhere else. It's right here, in drawing water and carrying fuel, in playing with children and enjoying meals. This understanding produces reverence for life and makes hatred seem absurd. It brings childlike wonder for ordinary existence, the kind of ease that frees you to enjoy things the earnestly seeking mind considers trivial. While this doesn't magically solve moral or political problems, it gives new zest for approaching them without private hopes or fears clouding judgment. We are mythmakers by necessity, because we cannot be both subject and object, observer and observed. Like a sword that cannot cut itself, we possess a perpetual blind spot in self-understanding that shapes our entire perception of reality. An ancient Indian tale illustrates two approaches. A king wanted to cover the earth with leather to protect barefoot people, until a philosopher suggested binding leather to their feet instead. Western cultures master the external world through technology, while Eastern traditions focus on controlling the mind, changing oneself rather than the environment. Hindu and Buddhist philosophies use Maya to suggest the external world is an illusion arising in our minds. This doesn't mean the world doesn't exist, but that our perception is inherently filtered through consciousness. We practice selective attention, creating the illusion of separation where there is fundamental interconnection. The Bodhisattva's journey illustrates this. After withdrawing from the world seeking enlightenment, they return to discover there's no escape because there's no one separate to escape. Only the trap exists. This realization transforms nirvana from escape to embrace, freedom to fully participate in Maya while recognizing its nature. Our collective insanity stems from treating time as external and linear, carrying us like passengers. True presence requires understanding there is no other moment, there never was and never will be. This moment moves faster than lightning, yet is always here, changing like smoke, yet ever the same. Memories and anticipations are merely parts of this one moment. Think of a musician flowing with the entire piece as one continuous present experience. Correcting this illusion brings profound changes, notably the disappearance of rush and temporal anxiety. Humans are the only creatures who rush. An oak tree doesn't stress about growing faster. A cat doesn't worry about tomorrow. Rush destroys creativity because we attempt to divide life into equal units that never fit non-mechanical rhythms. As Zen wisdom teaches, in spring, flowers. In summer, breeze. In autumn, falling leaves. In winter, snow. Free your mind from idle thoughts, and every season is a good season. What we seek is right here, in this immediate instant. Children learn arithmetic as absolute truth, yet advanced mathematicians discover these laws are merely conventional frameworks, useful tools rather than cosmic absolutes. Education similarly forces children to conform to society's conventions, sacrificing natural spontaneity and creating inner conflicts that persist into adulthood. Most adults never achieve this breakthrough regarding social conduct. The moral absolutes implanted in childhood become the architecture of thought itself, transforming from tools into prison bars. Our fundamental challenge stems from conflating social conventions with divine will, giving every social rule cosmic significance. Society's rules fundamentally differ from nature's laws. We cannot transgress natural laws. We ourselves are expressions of these laws in action. Traditional societies recognized two distinct aspects of religious life: the exoteric that maintained social order, and the esoteric that acknowledged fundamental freedom beyond conventional distinctions. Modern society lacks this essential counterdiscipline, leaving us deeply insecure and intolerant of difference. True liberation comes not from stopping thought entirely, but from allowing thoughts to flow naturally without forcing them into predetermined patterns, transforming rational thought from compulsive habit into a tool we can use freely when needed. Taoism sees humanity as part of nature, not its master. Chinese paintings show vast landscapes with tiny human figures, while Western art centers humans, revealing fundamentally different worldviews. Following the Tao means working with the grain, cutting wood where it splits easily, engaging people along natural lines. This is Wu Wei, not forcing. We don't force locks, we jiggle them until they turn. Urban renewal projects that bulldoze slums without understanding their social ecology create chaos. Another key concept is Li, originally meaning markings in jade or grain in wood. Better understood as organic pattern than reason, Li appears in foam patterns of breaking waves and wood grain, distinct forms, clearly different from randomness, yet with order impossible to fully define. A piano teacher demonstrated this. Playing means dropping relaxed hands on keys, using natural weight rather than muscular tension. This captures effortless action, working with reality rather than against it, finding the path of least resistance that paradoxically accomplishes the most. Life's energy manifests in opposites, darkness and light, yin and yang. We suffer by imagining one side will triumph, yet death is simply energy's other face, the rest enabling existence. When you realize you are this one energy playing different forms, you become full of delight. You'll still feel pain, but you're free from fundamental terror. In Zen, a stone Buddha breaks your fist when struck, while a living Buddha says, "Ouch," and feels pain. Buddhas are human, not gods, enlightened people unafraid to participate in life struggles. The Buddhist void isn't emptiness, but the most real thing, like a radio speaker producing countless sounds without announcing itself as their source. Understanding this requires stopping thought, the constant internal chatter of symbols and words. Just as you must stop talking to hear others, you must stop thinking to discover life. Then you contact the unspeakable world, where conceptual differences between self and other, pleasure and pain, simply don't exist. The Bodhisattva returns to everyday life, seeing that transcendental and ordinary worlds are the same. The Buddhist void isn't emptiness, but the most real thing, like a radio speaker producing countless sounds without announcing itself as their source. Understanding this requires stopping thought, the constant internal chatter of symbols and words. Just as you must stop talking to hear others, you must stop thinking to discover life. Then you contact the unspeakable world, where conceptual differences between self and other, pleasure and pain, simply don't exist. The Bodhisattva returns to everyday life, seeing that transcendental and ordinary worlds are the same. The mystical experience of light, brighter than a thousand suns, ultimately reveals itself as simply us, sitting here together. This is the final secret. You were never separate from what you sought.